The National Museum of American History has been called America's Attic, and with good reason. It houses everything from Thomas Jefferson's desk to Judy Garland's ruby slippers. A new report says it's time to give the attic a spring cleaning. NPR's Neda Ulubi reports.
When visitors to the National Museum of American History come in from the mall, they enter a dim atrium in which an orientation film plays over and over.
This is the place where we work to preserve our nation's treasures.
I just see a big screen and people watch it and then they go on and stuff, but there's not really much to it here. You have to go deep inside to find stuff.
Jana Morris is a 14-year-old visitor from Houston, Texas. She has a few ideas about how the museum could improve.
I'd make it more open. It's like closed in parts.
Jana hadn't heard about the new report, written by what's called a blue ribbon panel, comprised of scholars, curators, museum board members, and others. Richard Darman chaired the commission, whose criticisms were remarkably similar to those of Jana Morris.
Opening up its central core, letting light in, the museum was originally designed to have terrific views of the mall. We want to reopen those without hurting the collections.
But that's just a first step.
They need to have more, like, out here so people will be interested and want to go through the museum more.
Jana Morris is right again, according to the commission. Columbia University professor Eric Foner served on the panel.
One of our recommendations was that there should be a new thematic chronological introduction to American history, really in a central location, so that visitors who want to get a sense of the development of the United States can do that without having to just piece it together from all sorts of disparate and more limited exhibits.
The First Lady's Gown Gallery is one of those, and it's wildly popular.
Mamie's bangs, Dolly's turbans, and Jackie's pillbox hat. In fact, everything about Jackie.
In part because of the First Ladies, the National Museum of American History is the third most visited museum in the world. It started in the Sputnik era as the National Museum of History and Technology, but its emphasis slowly shifted, and the name changed in 1980 to reflect a place that showcases not only submarines and locomotives, but the original Howdy Doody doll in Archie Bunker's chair. But historian Eric Foner says the museum never completely left technology behind.
There are exhibits about transportation, about different construction materials. Nothing wrong with that, but they don't really fit into any vision of American history. They're there as just kind of artifacts, but they don't tell you a heck of a lot about American history.
Some might argue there's romance in the museum's clutter. A group of students from California paused by the remains of a 200-year-old gunboat on the way to an exhibition about Japanese Americans during World War II. The juxtaposition didn't bother 13-year-old Janelle Fanchon.
There's some areas, like when you go through, it's like it's mysterious and it makes you want to see it more. You're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't go in there. But you like really want to see, like curiosity gets the best of you.
Fanchon thinks it's fun to poke and ponder and make your own associations between items. That way, she says, you learn things by surprise. But 14-year-old Jana Morris once again shares the blue ribbon panel's position.
They should make it like easier for people to understand of what's going on here and there and stuff, because it's kind of confusing for people.
Wonder has nothing to do with wandering, says Commission Chair Richard Darman. Visitors should easily connect with the broad sweep of American history. Right now, he says, that's impossible.
Some of the important themes that need to be treated, according to the commission, and that are not represented now would include immigration or some of the great theme lines of American history, like the struggle for freedom or the expansion of democracy, the quest for equal opportunity, the history of slavery in America.
Museums must maintain a tricky balance between education and entertainment. Some critics worry that the many stories that make up American history will be forced into unrealistic order. But Eric Foner says such fears are misplaced.
We're not saying that the entire museum should be organized in a kind of lockstep fashion where everybody enters at one spot and kind of marches through without any ability to sort of go off and see other things. There will still be numerous individual exhibits on different themes, different people, different issues.
But now there will be icons to help guide visitors. Each new section of the museum will have its own symbol. For example, Thomas Jefferson's desk could anchor one section. James W. Lowen, an author and former fellow at the museum, says that for the desk to be an effective icon, everything that went on there should be presented.
Not only the writing of legislative proposals for Virginia and so on, but also the purchase and sale of slaves, the attempts to go after runaways, the attempts to talk with overseers about how they are to be disciplined. Then we see Jefferson himself as emblematic of the problems in American history, the greatness, the religious freedom, the aspirations of mankind, the inequality, the conspicuous consumption of wine and books, all based on the unrequited labor of 100 or 200 people. If we see all of that in Jefferson, then we've got a good treatment of Jefferson.
The question is, can the museum address such nuances in the 2 hours that most tourists allot for their visit? Lowen thinks it's possible, and he thinks the commission's come up with a good plan to keep people coming back.
So, you go to the Smithsonian. You have this two-hour experience. You have seen the introduction and one other exhibit. And you think, well, that was neat. Now, tomorrow, we're supposed to go see the Air and Space Museum, but, you know, I think I'm going to come back here and see another exhibit.
Lowen says the most important feature of the museum should be its accuracy. For her part, Jana Morris diverged from the commission's recommendations when she finished her critique. The best way to communicate history, Morris says, is not through fancy interactive kiosks, but through something you might find in an attic.
The World War II, the pictures of the people that were in it, like you could actually see the pain within their eyes and stuff, and I love looking at those pictures.
While its visitors reflect on the nation's past, the National Museum of American History continues to reevaluate its future. Before the commission's recommendations can be implemented, the museum must hire a new director. Netta Ulibi, NPR News, Washington.